Amen. Well, welcome. So glad that you're with us this morning. We're calling March kind of our grand opening month at Hartford City Church, where we're just especially glad to have people come and visit and check us out and see what we're all about. We've been meeting since October every week. But this month, as we lead up to Easter, we wanted to really kind of emphasize that we're here and what we're all about. So the Tuesday night before Easter, we're going to be here on Tuesday evening. We're going to have an open house celebration. It's a reception for people from the community, for all of you guys, anybody to come and have some cake and dessert and just watch some videos and stuff and just have kind of a celebration that we're here, that God has brought us here to this place, in this neighborhood, in this city of Hartford. That's going to be the Tuesday night before Easter. And also this month, everybody that comes, you get free gifts, right? Woo! Yes. Because like I said last week, I like to feel like Oprah, you get free gifts. We didn't have all the gifts yet last week, okay? But this week we have all the gifts. So today, if you go down to lunch, which is you go outside and make a ride all the way down to the cafeteria, that's where we have our free gifts. So you go down to lunch and you get this lovely little tote bag. And we also have, look at this, we have coffee cups now, or tea cups, like that. We get a little brochure about the church. You'll get, like, this is the message of John. It's in a modern translation. You'll get these cool, bracelets that we're wearing. Little orange. What else we got? We got the pen. Everybody got their pen last week, right? Unless you weren't here, make sure you get your pen today before you leave, Mike. And then, not only that, because we are the most practical church on the block, let me tell you. We've got chapstick with our logo on. And hand sanitizer. All the doctors and nurses are cheering it up and whatever. So, this is for... So you don't have to take all this stuff, but we decided that we're just going to put it out, and you can take whatever you want, you know, so you can, do that as well. If you want to take an extra one for a friend, go ahead, that's all right, but nobody's sending it. But I'm going to give this to someone who came for the first time. So I met this lady back there, Teresa, right? Okay. I've never pointed anyone out before, and I'll never do it again, but here, I wanted to give you this before I forgot, so there you go. So... I just realized that. I said, we're not going to be that kind of church that embarrasses people when they visit. So I'm sorry, Teresa. Thank you for letting me give you that. She's like, it's good. It's all good. All right. Today we want to talk about our second value. We have three values at Hartford City Church, and that is to love all, to serve all, and to welcome all. And last week we talked about love all and unpacked what that means. As Jesus told us, the greatest commandment, the greatest thing we can do is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to love each other, to love our neighbor, even as we love ourselves. So today we come to serve all. And when we think about serving, there's a story from the Gospels, from the book of John, that I think gives us this beautiful picture of what it means to serve and to serve all. And it's a story of actually the Last Supper, when communion first started. It was the meal the night before Jesus died. And he was with his 12 closest friends, his closest followers, and they were together sharing this meal. But they also did some other things. He taught them a little bit. He washed their feet. And he spoke to them about certain things. So we're going to take a look at this story from John chapter 13. And it's really a story about Jesus. But it highlights two of the disciples. It highlights Peter and Judas. And we're going to compare and contrast Peter and Judas today as we think about serving all. Now I'm just going to read the whole chapter, John 13. So just settle in. Just listen, enjoy yourselves. I'm going to read from The Message, which is a modern translation. So if you're following along in your Bible, it may be a little different. If you have an electronic Bible, you can go and switch the version to The Message. If anybody needs a Bible, my good friend Phil back there, he only had one last week. He's got more this week. He's good that way. So if you need a Bible, he's running around handing out Bibles to you. So, and then you can keep it open and look at it later on as well. So John chapter 13, this is just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come to leave this world and to go back to the Father. So having loved his dear companions, he continued to love them right to the end. That's important. Having loved his dear companions, he continued to love them right to the end. And it was supper time. And the devil by now had Judas, the son of Simon the Iscariot, firmly in his grip, all set for the betrayal. But Jesus knew that the Father had put him in complete charge of everything, that he came from God and he was on his way back to God. So he got up from the supper table, set aside his robe and put on an apron, and then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples, drying them with his apron. When he got to Simon Peter, Peter said, "Master, you wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You don't understand now what I'm doing, but it will be clear enough to you later." Peter persisted, "You're not going to wash my feet ever." Jesus said, "If I don't wash you, you can't be a part of what I'm doing." "Well, Master," Peter said, "then not only my feet, but wash my hands, wash my head." Jesus said, "If you've had a bath in the morning, you only need your feet washed now and you're clean from head to toe. My concern, you understand, is holiness, not hygiene. So now you're clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was betraying him, and that's why he said, "Not every one of you." And after he finished washing their feet, he took his robe and put it back on and went back to his place at the table. Then he said, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You address me as teacher and master, and rightly so, that is what I am. So if I, the master and the teacher, wash your feet, now you must wash each other's feet. I've laid down a pattern for you. What I've done, you do. I'm only pointing out the obvious. A servant is not ranked above his master. An employee doesn't give orders to the employer. If you understand what I'm telling you, act like it and live a blessed life." That's important. He's laid down a pattern. What we've seen him do, we're supposed to do. Okay? And then he says, "I'm not including all of you because I know precisely whom I've selected so as not to interfere with the fulfillment of Scripture. The one who ate bread at my table turned on his heel against me. I'm telling you this ahead of time so that when it happens, you'll believe that I am who I say that I am. Make sure you get this right. Receiving someone I send is the same as receiving me, just as receiving me is the same as receiving the one who sent me." Right? So we represent Christ. And when Christ represents God, it's God. It brings it. It brings God, comes in through Christ, comes through us, who Christ sends. That's his work in the world. After he said these things, Jesus became upset. And he told them, "Why?" He said, "One of you is going to betray me." And the disciples looked around at one another, wondering who he was talking about. One of the disciples, the one Jesus loved dearly, was reclining against him. Okay, quick side note. This is John. When John refers to himself in his gospel, he says, "the one that Jesus really loved." So I don't know, there's a little bit of the human in there, I think, when he says, "the one that Jesus really loved," you know. He loved everybody, all of his companions, and loved them to the end. But then John says, instead of saying, "I, John," he says, "the one Jesus loved dearly." I don't know, maybe it's a nickname he had from Jesus, I don't know. "Dear little John," was reclining against him, his head on his shoulder. Peter motioned to him to ask who Jesus is talking about. So being the closest, because John always wants to be the closest, he says, "Master, who?" And Jesus said, "the one to whom I give this crust of bread after I've dipped it." So he dipped the crust in the drink. And he gave it to Judas. Iscariot. Just think about what was going through his mind at that point. As soon as the bread was in his hand, Satan entered him. "What you must do," said Jesus, do it and get it over with." And no one around the supper table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that since Judas was their treasurer, he was telling him to go buy something they needed for the feast, or that he was going to go give something to the poor. So Judas, with a piece of bread, like he can't even eat it, with a piece of bread, he left, and it was night. And when he had left, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is seen for who he is, and God is seen for who he is, and God is seen for who he is in him. The moment God is seen in him, God's glory will be on display. In glorifying him, he himself is glorifying. Glory all around. Children, I'm with you only a short time longer. You're going to look high and low for me, but just as I told the Jews, I'm telling you, where I go, you're not able to come. Let me give you a new command. Love one another." It says it again. Love one another. "In the same way I loved you, you love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love that you have for each other." Right? That's how they'll know that we follow Jesus, because of the love that we have for each other. Remember last week? No love, nothing. I'm sorry, you don't have any love. Don't tell me you follow Jesus. No one's going to believe that you're a Christian. Amen. If you're just angry and judgmental and critical, if you just don't have any love in your heart, if you're not caring for people, right? This is what Jesus said. That's how people are going to know. And they say, you might go ahead and be a Christian, but if you're kind of a grumpy, nasty person, nobody's going to know it. You know, but I'll leave that between you and God. I'll just leave that there for a second. Then Peter said, "Master, where are you going?" Jesus said, "You can't follow me now, but you will follow later." You know what Jesus is saying, right? He's, "I'm about to die. You're not going to die right now, but Peter, you'll get your chance. It will come." Peter said, "Why can't I follow you now? I'd lay down my life for you." Jesus said, really? You lay down your life for me? The truth is that before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And here's where we get to the point of the story this morning. The main character is Jesus and what he does as an example for us. But I want to look at Peter and Judas for just a minute if we can, okay? Peter and Judas are these two people that are the same. They're part of the same group. They're part of the same crew. And yet their outcome is radically different, as I'm going to explain in a moment. And that's a story as old as time, isn't it? It goes all the way back to Cain and Abel. A lot of stories we know, right? Two brothers, two sisters, two friends. They come from the same place. One goes one way, one goes the other way, right? How many of you in your family, you got somebody that went one way and somebody that went the other way? How many of you grew up with somebody and somebody went one way and somebody went the other way? It's the story of life. And here's Judas and Peter, and they're together. And I want to look at the similarities because I don't think you think about how similar they are, how much they have in common. First of all, they're both part of the 12. You see, Jesus had hundreds of followers. Okay, he probably had about 70 people, they estimate, that were like his team that went out and did his work, his ministry. But then he had like a leadership group of 12, like this group of 12 that were the closest to him. And Judas was a part of that. Judas and Peter were part of the 12, meaning they were chosen by Jesus, saying, I want you to be close to me. I believe that you can do what I do. That's how a rabbi back in that day would choose his disciples. A rabbi or teacher of the law would say, I want to find somebody that could be like me. So if I look at you and I think, you know what, I think you got the right stuff. You can be like me. Then he would call him. Judas was called by Jesus. He was a part of that group, meaning he shared intimate moments with Jesus. He heard Jesus teach. He lived life with Jesus closer than anyone else except those other 11, including Peter. And Jesus loved both of them. Remember? Having loved all of them, he loved them to the very end. And not only did Jesus love Judas and Peter, he washed both of their feet. And if you compare this story, remember the story of Jesus is in four books of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you compare all those stories together, Judas received communion from Jesus as well. Right? Both Peter and Judas had issues with Satan. Satan had got a hold of Judas somehow. And in another story, when Jesus is telling Peter he couldn't deny him, he says, Satan's asked for permission to mess with you. Jesus knows that both of them are going to fail him. Both of them are going to betray him. And he tells both of them before it happens what they're going to do. And sure enough, that's what they end up doing, isn't it? Judas ends up going and for 30 pieces of silver turns Jesus over, betrays him to the Jewish authorities who are then going to go to the Roman authorities so that they can have him killed. And Peter, while Jesus is on trial, is going to stand outside and be asked three times, aren't you one of his followers? Aren't you a friend of his? And he's going to deny that he even knows Jesus. He's going to deny that he even knows him. They're both going to fail in horrible ways. And Jesus knows it. And he tells them that. But even as he knows it, he washes their feet. Right? We get a little bit of the story of Jesus washing Peter's feet. Because Peter's always got to open his mouth, doesn't he? Peter's always got to say something like, what are you doing, God? Why are you washing my feet? Why don't you wash all of me? No, you don't understand, Peter. But what must it have been like when Jesus was washing Judas' feet? Knowing everything that was going to happen. Knowing what was in Judas' heart. Because you see, Judas hit it. Judas was like, he was good. He played it smooth, right? Because notice, nobody could figure out that it was him. When Jesus said, someone's going to betray me, you would think someone would be like, oh, I bet it's that Judas guy. He's a little shady. Nobody knew. He said, nobody. They couldn't figure out. Who's he talking about? There's nobody here that's going to do it. Even when he gets up to leave, nobody's like, oh, I knew it. That Judas, he's going to. No, they're like, oh, he must be going to give money to the poor or something, you know, or doing something. I mean, nobody knew. Nobody knew. Judas had him fooled. He had him fooled. His heart was never in the right place. They find that out later. If you look one chapter back, in John chapter 12, there's a woman that comes with expensive oil and she puts it on Jesus' feet to anoint him. And Judas Iscariot gets a little upset. He says, why wasn't this oil sold and the money given to the poor? And John makes this comment. He said this not because he cared 2 cents about the poor, but because he was a thief. He was in charge of their common funds, but he also from time to time took money from them. He didn't know that at the time, but later on, after all was said and done, they found out who Judas really was. and they look back, right? And I'm not saying everybody, because you know there's always that one person that likes to think they know. I knew he was going to do that. You know that person? I could tell. I could tell he was mad from the moment he walked into this group. There could have been someone like that, yes. But what we have recorded is nobody could figure out who was going to do this. Judas appeared to be just like one of them. Peter has problems too, right? Peter was just more upfront about it. He just opened his mouth and blurted things out, got himself in trouble. He was always trying to get the best position. He was always trying, him and John always saying, I want to be close to Jesus. I want to be close to Jesus, right? One time Jesus got so frustrated with him, he turned around and he said, Satan, get behind me. I mean, Peter was no angel either. Both of them messed up. Both of them denied and betrayed their Lord. Jesus washed both of their feet. That's why we at Hartford City Church have a commitment that we will serve all.
Amen.
We will serve all. Because Jesus served all. Judas and Peter. Oh yeah, what happened? What happened to this story, right? They both felt bad about what they did. They both felt sorry. Terrible, horrible remorse. What did Judas do? He went back to the leaders. He threw the money back. He said, take it back. They're like, we can't take this money back. It's blood money. And he leaves it there. He runs out and he's so overcome with grief and despair. What does he do? He kills himself. How have Peter must have felt when that rooster crowed that third time and he knew he had denied Jesus? I bet he felt pretty bad too. But where do we find Peter? On Sunday morning, on Easter Sunday morning, when the word comes that the tomb is empty, we find Peter with the other disciples. Even though he had messed up, he went back to his people. He went back to his friends because they'd all messed up. They all knew they had fallen away. Nobody had really stood up for Jesus. But he went back to the community. Judas said, no, it's too much grief. It's too much. Judas didn't believe that he could be forgiven or restored. Peter held out hope that maybe somehow, some way, it'll be right again. For when Jesus rose from the dead, he stood on the shore of the Sea of Galilee one morning. And Peter and his friends were out fishing. And they hadn't caught anything all night. And they don't recognize it's Jesus. And he calls out and says, why don't you try the other side of the boat? To which some of them probably said things that Scripture cannot record. But so they're like, okay. So they throw the net on the other side of the boat. And there's so much fish in the net that they can't even bring it up. And Peter's like, oh, that's Jesus. Only Jesus does that kind of stuff. And he gets so excited, man. He rips off his shirt. He dives in the water. He swims all the way to the shore. And when he gets there, Jesus has this conversation with him. And he forgives him. And he restores him. He says to Peter three times, do you love me? Peter says, I do. And on the third time that he has to ask him, Peter gets it. I denied him three times. He's asking me, do you love me three times? Peter was forgiven. Peter was restored. Could Judas have been forgiven? Could he? Could he have been restored? The truth is, I'm going to be honest, brutally honest, we don't know because it didn't happen. He never got that choice. He never got that opportunity. We don't know for sure. But I like to believe that he could have because Jesus loved him and Jesus washed his feet and Jesus gave him communion before he went and did what he had to do. And he repented. He felt bad about what he did. But instead of trusting the community of his friends, who are followers of Christ, instead of trusting that maybe he could be forgiven and restored somehow, he took his own life. And the question today is, where do we find ourselves? Because I think there are people who feel like they've messed up so bad that God can never forgive them, that they can never have a place with God. And I feel strongly today, whether you're here in this room or somewhere within the sound of my voice, that somebody is struggling with that. That you think that you've messed up so bad that God could not possibly forgive you or restore you. Well, I want to tell you today, friend, be like Peter. Don't be like Judas. Because God does love you. And God does want you restored. And you have that choice to be like Peter or to be like Judas. And I'm hoping today you would choose to be like Peter. At Hartford City Church, we're going to serve everybody. We're going to care for everybody. Why? Because Jesus did.
Amen.
Now, what's the purpose of helping people? What's the purpose of meeting people's needs, you know, the symbolic of washing their feet? It's because we believe that by our actions and our words, we can tell everybody that Jesus Christ is the way to life.
We're committed through this value to care for those who need it the most, to take the whole gospel to the whole world, to go where the poor are, the outcast are, the marginalized, those who've been forgotten, and to get out of our comfort zone. Jesus got out of his comfort zone. He took off, you know, he says, listen, I'm the master. I'm the creator of this universe, for crying out loud. I'm going to just put on this towel, and I'm just going to come, and I'm going to just wash your dirty, nasty, stinky feet. And I'm going to care for you. And everyone from Peter to Judas and everyone in between. So how are we going to serve all of Hartford City Church? We're going to step across the line. There's lines of culture. There's lines of race. It doesn't matter whether you're young or old, you're a man or you're a woman, where you come from, what you've done. It didn't matter whether Judas did have that opportunity to be restored or not. That didn't even matter. Jesus washed everyone's feet and he served everyone. And he said, do as I have done. So we will wash everyone's feet. Amen. Because Jesus did. Now when we say love all, serve all, welcome all, let me clear this. We're not saying that we're going to reach everybody. I understand that. That's an impossible task. We're not going to reach every single person. Sometimes we get all hung up trying to do that. It's more of an attitude of our heart. That whoever comes in, whoever we go out and meet, that we're not going to judge. We're going to serve them. But we're going to do it one at a time. You know, we're not going to be so crazy that we think everybody's going to make it. But we're going to do it, you know, with who we have opportunities to. When we meet someone, when we see someone, we're not going to care at that moment about anything else except serving them, meeting their needs. And by doing so, loving them. And by loving them, building a relationship with them. And by getting to know them, sharing life. You see, Peter was restored by Jesus, but I believe he was also restored by being with his community. Amen. By being with the people that he needed to be around. That's why we got to come together. That's why you can't do it on your own. You've got to be in community, and God can restore you. And we serve all because I choose to believe, that everyone could be forgiven and restored. That God's love really is for everyone. I believe that with all my heart. And that's why I want to serve everybody. Amen. Everybody that has a need. You know, even as leadership of this church, we're going to take the attitudes of servants. We're going to let Jesus wash our feet. We're going to submit ourselves to each other, right? Amen. The staff I have at this church is crazy, right? We have Joyce, who's in New Orleans, right, with her team, ministering down in New Orleans. She's our pastor for community engagement. She's part-time here. Jenny's our administrative assistant. She works full-time, doesn't get a dime for it yet, but, you know, she's on our staff. Alyssa, who's normally here, she's our worship leader. The staff is like me and three single girls in their 20s. And sometimes I'm driving like, I'm submitting myself in a strange way to this group of people. It's like the Charlie's Angels model. You know, that's what I'm saying. Even though we're like Charlie's Angels, you know. And we're trying to live that out. I'm trying to say, you know, it's not about me. But I need to follow the example. How can I serve them? And what we talk about together is how can we serve you? How can we best meet the needs of the people that come here? And that's what it's all about, right? Man, washing people's feet is kind of a messed up thing, isn't it? You know, the church actually did wash people's feet for a long time. And today, I'm not going to make everyone wash their feet. So you can praise God that you don't live in the first century. All right? Because nobody likes their feet washed. Well, I'm going to call my buddy up. My buddy Phil's going to come down here and sit. And I just want us to think about this for a minute as we enter into a time of prayer and reflection. What makes us so uncomfortable about it, right? That we don't like to show people who we really are doing. We don't like to let someone serve us. I think someone's got that problem. We don't want to let someone serve us. And if you haven't had your feet washed, you're not going to be able to wash anybody else's. Because you will always be in that position of power. You'll always have that privilege. You'll always be like, well, yes, I'm going to serve you, but you've never served me. In fact, I wasn't going to do this, but get up. Go ahead. I'm going to sit down. I'm like, what did I just say? That I'm going to sit here and wash his feet and act like, oh, I'm the pastor that's going to wash his feet. This is really hard for me. Oh, those of you here in the choir. How do you feel that way?
I'm going to let you wash my feet, Phil. And then I'm going to wash yours, all right? I want you guys to think about, I want you guys to enter into an attitude of prayer right now, right? I want you to think about, what would it be like if you had to wash the feet of Judas, of your enemy? We're friends here, right? What if I was like his enemy? What if I was the boss that fired him? What if I was the friend that betrayed him? What if I was the person from another country that he just didn't even understand or like or know anything about? Would that be hard to do? Yeah. But at Hartford City Church, we're going to serve all. And if I can't humble myself to my brothers and sisters, then I can't serve anyone else. Because it's hard, it's embarrassing. It's not easy. But that's what Jesus told us to do. And then he says, you get to do it for other people. Invite you to prayer this morning. You know, last week we prayed about things that stand in the way between us and being able to love God. So we're going to put a picture up of some of the rocks we had last week. And I'm going to invite you to do, I'm going to give you some options of prayer this morning. You might want to pray for these things that come up on the screen, these things that hold us all back. Just because one person wrote it, there's probably five people that feel the same way. Maybe to get a chance to do that, we have rocks up front still. With markers, if you want to come up and write something that's standing in the way of you being able to love God and serve one another, then I'm going to invite you to come up and do that as well. I invite you just to sit where you are and pray. And the bowl, the pitcher, the chair's here. If you want your feet washed, come on up. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you gave us this example of love and service, that we might be able to follow you and serve all. But I pray that in this time of prayer that you would speak to our hearts right now. Lord, if we need to do some business with you, let us do some business. If you're speaking to us, Lord, let us respond. Let us follow. We just dedicate this time of prayer to you. And maybe you're that person today who feels like you've messed up so bad that God would never forgive you. I want to invite you right now to receive God's forgiveness. Just to say, God, I'm sorry. And just to receive his love. If you do that right now, God will forgive you and heal you. If you want to come forward, I invite you to come forward. If you want to write something on a rock and spend some time in prayer there, go ahead, come forward. It's open. If you just want to sit and pray for those things up there. Pray against those things. If you'd like your feet washed,